Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
It seems that almost immediately after we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our salvation, we soon encounter the very real fact that God has an enemy in this universe. The Bible admonishes us not to be ignorant of this enemy and his stratagems or devices. Ephesians chapter 6, more than any passage in the New Testament, enlightens us regarding this warfare and shows us that the crucial factors in this universal struggle are not our own strength or even our own spirituality, but to be empowered so that we might stand in the body. If you've ever had problems with Satan, you won't want to miss today's fellowship on this life study from Ephesians. And we're very happy. On rare occasions, Gary Evans is able to drop by and join us, and such is the case today. Gary, good to have you back.
I always look forward to this time of fellowship, Chris.
Gary, I think most people who know the Bible realize that this chapter, Ephesians 6, is a chapter about spiritual warfare. Verses 10 and 11 say, "Be empowered in the Lord and in the might of his strength. Put on the whole armor of God." It goes on then to give some further descriptions of the preparation for this kind of warfare. But yesterday, we saw something that I'd like to get back into a little bit. We saw that this warfare, and to understand it, really requires that we see in the universe, this warfare is not a battle of good and evil. This is a clash, a conflict, a struggle between two great wills in the universe. And I think it would be worthwhile to go back and review it just a bit.
Well, by the word will, we should understand that as intention. We Christians should have our eyes open to see that this is really a struggle, a clash between two intentions, two wills for two kingdoms. Chris, you know, when we repented, what did we repent for? We repented for the kingdom. The Gospel of Matthew tells us over and over again, the Lord charged us, repent
for the kingdom.
For the kingdom. Mm-hmm. It's not just repent so that you can live forever or repent to escape hell, but it's to repent for the sake of the fulfillment of his intention, which is his kingdom. So there's a struggle really between two kingdoms, the divine kingdom and the satanic kingdom. And we believers every day should align ourselves with God's kingdom.
Gary, really a good point here at the end. And I think that our listeners, if they've been with us for any length of time, have probably heard us come from this approach again and again. And that is that the struggle, the battle that we experience when Satan confronts us, however he does it, is really not so much that he is, you know, that much focused on us. What he's really focused on is what we should be focused on. And that is God's will, as you said, God's kingdom. And so the attack is not aimed at us specifically or directly. It may come through us, but really the focus is to frustrate God's kingdom. And that context puts a whole different light on spiritual warfare.
It's a question of whose kingdom will prevail. And we believers, of course, want his kingdom to come.
Well, it was mentioned yesterday. Let's set it up again. I think it'll help as we prepare for this first portion today. Not only does the universe contain these two great wills or intentions, as you said, the will of God versus the will of God's enemy, Satan, but man has a will. We have a will. There's a third will, and in many ways, that battle or struggle between the other two great wills is over where our will end up. I think that's an important fact to consider today as we get ready for this word. Let's look at this whole little passage in Ephesians chapter 6 that really sets the context for the spiritual warfare. Finally, in verse 10, it begins there, "Be empowered in the Lord and in the might of his strength. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the stratagems of the devil. For our wrestling is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenlies. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Inspiring words, aren't they, Gary?
I love these verses.
Well, let's join Witness Lee, and then we'll be back to fellowship.
From the time our Christian life began, Listen, it's a fighting life. Fighting all the way. I feel sorry today. All these things are just lost and missed and neglected. Have you noticed in Exodus by what way the children of Israel ate the Passover? I tell you, they ate the Passover in the way like an army. Their eating of the lamb was the preparation to get on war. They were saved under a kind of fighting atmosphere. Then right after the Exodus, the fighting began. Don't you see the fighting there? Pharaoh with his army, chariots, all came to fight against these delivered ones. Then God came in. God fought the fight. God overthrew Pharaoh. The children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. They had a triumphant praising. Listen, from that time, the journey of children of Israel all the way was one of fighting. For 40 years, they were fighting until they fought through Jordan. And they fought into the Good Land. This is a clear picture that the life of the saved ones is a fighting life. Yes, in chapter 4, as the new man, the church should walk according to the truth and walk by grace. That's right. Then the church at the bride should have a kind of life in love and in light. This is all true. But at the same time, the church life is a fighting life. Even in the Song of Songs, you could see the seeking one of the Lord. While she was enjoying the Lord's presence, the fighting was going on. And this is why you could see in these three chapters, you have these three figures. A new man, a bride, and a warrior.
Gary, one of the other things we've pointed out on a number of occasions is the value of the Old Testament in helping us understand or explain or define the things we read about regarding the Christian life in the New Testament. And here he has gone back and picked up several pictures that really help us understand the relationship or the way that warfare is from the very beginning a part of the Christian experience, isn't it?
It is, and I think we were all surprised when we first received the Lord. We thought our problems were over forever, and
yeah.
We had entered into heaven on earth. And what a shock it was to find out that we had really entered into a journey of fighting, that the real warfare had begun. As soon as we ate the lamb, we began to enter into a battle. What a surprise it was.
Let's talk about the children of Israel and their experiences. It helps us define ours a little bit.
Well, first of all, of course, they ate the lamb and took up their staff. And when they had finished the entire Passover, they rose up. And their thinking was they would enter in right away into the good land. But of course, right away, you have Pharaoh's armies pursuing them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a picture of us believers. God's intention is for us to enjoy Christ as our good land. He wants Christ to be everything to us. Again, we come back, Chris, to these two great intentions in the universe. Satan has his intention. God has his intention. To fulfill God's intention, to build up his dwelling place, we must enter into the good land. And so the Old Testament gives us a wonderful picture that as soon as we receive the Lord, we not only need to be the new man, we not only need to be the bride, but there's still the need for chapter 6 in Ephesians.
Right.
And that's the need for God's enemy to be dealt with and for the kingdom to come so that God's purpose could be fulfilled in the universe. So there's the need of a warrior.
It's interesting also, as he pointed out, the Song of Songs, which is a book in figure, in type, all about the bride and the relationship with Christ depicting the king there. But still, even in that context, there was warfare that was incorporated into that whole picture. So this is just something that, as you said, we wish we could escape this, and I think we have that thought when we do first get saved, but it's an inevitable part of the Christian life because it's incorporated into God's purpose for the church to help deal with and eventually, ultimately, eradicate his enemy.
the church is a wonderful gentleman in the sense that it expresses Christ and all of his lovely qualities. The church is a lovely bride, loving the Lord and expressing him in an enlarged way. But the church is also a mighty corporate warrior.
Okay, verse 10, we read this a moment ago. Now, this comes back to the thing we were talking about a minute ago, and that is there is this third will that enters into the picture, our will, our human will. And that is really alluded to in these verses in chapter 6. Finally, be empowered in the Lord and in the might of his strength. We'll see there are some more be's, and those be's, as we'll see, really imply the exercise of our will to line up with God's will. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Could you see the matter of human will in chapter 6? To understand chapter 6, you must see this matter. The will is here. Verse 10 says this way, be empowered. The will is in the word be. You have to make up your will. The Lord is going to empower you, but you need to be empowered. Why? There are many commandments also in the gospel because there is the need of the exercise of the human will. Repent! Will is here. If you are just a jellyfish, I tell you, a jellyfish could never repent. A jellyfish doesn't have a will. What is the power to repent? The will. Didn't you see that person? Saul of Tarsus? Riding on the horse? Oh, I'm going to Damascus. I'm going to arrest everyone that calls that name. It was that kind of strong person who had a strong repentance,
right.
With a strong will. Even with the fallen human beings, God sovereignly still kept two things, the will and the conscience. If God didn't sovereignly keep our will, if the gospel comes, we cannot do anything. The repentance needs human will. In the New Testament, many commandments with this word be. Be saved. To be saved needs your will. You may ask me, in chapter 4, what is needed on our side? Be renewed. To be the new man, we need to be renewed. Then in chapter 5, what is needed? Be submissive. To be the bride, you need to be submissive. Be renewed, be submissive. Now in chapter 6, be what? Be empowered, not renewed, not submissive. Don't go to battle like a pretty bride. The enemy will kill you. Go to the battle like a lion. I like these three B's. Be renewed, be submissive, be empowered.
You know, Gary, we come to this matter of the will. This needs a lot of fellowship, I think, because I think we all know, or we should have found out by now, that in and of itself, our will is not enough to get us saved, to have a proper relationship with our wives or with Christ as his bride. And certainly it's not enough to hold off God's enemy, but we can't neglect the will either. Let's talk about this.
Well, you know, Chris, if I were to give most Christians a fill-in-the-blank test and just have the phrase, blank the gospel or blank the truth, and then ask them, fill in the blank, almost everyone would put in believe the gospel, believe the truth. But actually, in the New Testament, as much as it encourages us to believe the gospel, it charges us also to obey the gospel and obey the truth. That shows that repentance is, like Brother Lee mentioned, very much a matter of the will.
Right.
It's not just a matter of mental consenting to what you've heard, but it's a matter of, with your will, choosing to believe it. So it's a matter of obedience. And one time I preached the gospel to a fella, and he had all these questions, and we were sitting there, and I had a long time. So I decided I'm going to just answer all of his questions. We went for 2 hours, and finally he told me, you're the first person that's been able to answer every one of my questions. I said, well, very good. Why don't we now pray and receive the Lord? And he said, well, it's not really a matter of all these doubts that I had. He said, really, the problem is I know if I receive Jesus, He'll change my life.
Yeah.
And I like sinning. And that was the moment I saw that it's not just convincing people.
Right.
It's a matter of the will. People have to choose to receive Christ.
It was a moment of rare honesty from an unbeliever, wasn't it?
I appreciated it, but I wished he'd received the Lord as well.
Well, I wouldn't give up, Gary. I think seed might have been planted, and his will get exercised one of these days to act on what has been already imparted into him.
This word, be, Chris, such as be empowered.
Yeah.
This word has both an active and a passive sense to it. What I mean is this. You know, we believers often, we go back and forth between either trying hard or doing nothing. Most believers, Chris, are not aware that the New Testament never charges us to try. But neither does the New Testament tell us to do nothing. The New Testament charges us to be active passive, to be both. You know, it's not your effort, nor is it you just throwing up your hands and saying, Lord, you have to do everything. But it's a matter of you initiating contact with the Lord so that he can empower you.
Right.
You can't do it, but you can open to the Lord. He is the power. He is the way. But we do have to choose with our will to open up to him. I was recently in New Zealand, and I went up a cable car up the side of a mountain.
Yeah.
And it was so good. It was a holiday, so no one was there but the cable operator. And he said, well, here, come and sit behind the control panels. And I got to sit right there with all the buttons, and I had all the power at my hands, but to make that cable car go, we had to push the button, you see? So the power is there, but I had to position myself
right.
And choose to allow the power to carry me down that mountain.
Right.
And so it's the same with us believers. We can't just say, oh, I can do nothing. I'm just going to give up. Nor can we try hard. We'll never be able to live an overcoming life that way.
Mm-hmm.
But we can every day in the middle of situations with our heart and with our mouth open to the Lord and tell the Lord, Lord, I love you right now. Lord Jesus, I come to you. I want to contact you now. And I want to be filled with you now. And by exercising our will that way, Chris, the Lord then can empower us to stand.
And to stand, Gary, brings us very much to the last portion today. Verse 11, let me read it again. Two critical points regarding spiritual warfare will be highlighted, I think, in this next portion, and they're both in this verse. Put on the whole armor of God, that's one aspect, that you may be able to stand against the stratagems of the devil. And both the whole armor and the standing are repeated by Paul here, which means there's an emphasis that we should not miss. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Spiritual warfare could never be gained by ourselves. Be empowered in the Lord. This indicates that we have to fight not by ourselves, but by the Lord, even in him. This power is just the power in chapter 1 that raised up Christ from the dead and made him the head over all things and above all things. And this is power with which we are empowered. Now we go on to verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. This is, again, a commandment. See? Put on. God provides an armor for you, but he would not put on for you. You have put on the armor by yourself. This shows, again, in the same principle of being empowered. God can empower you, but you have to exercise your will to cooperate with him, that you may be able to stand. In the whole chapter here, the word stand is the crucial thing. To fight, the main thing is to stand. In chapter 2, we are sitting in heavenlies. In chapter 4, we are walking on this earth. Now in chapter 6, we are standing. See? Sitting there, watching here, and standing in the battlefield, that you may be able to stand by the armor of God, even the whole armor of God. Don't think you yourself can put the whole armor. It is the body that can wear the whole armor of God. So we need the body in order to be able to stand in the battlefield. We need the body to wear the whole armor.
Gary, early in his ministry, Watchman Nee gave a series of messages that were later compiled in a well-known book, one of his early classics, Sit, Walk, Stand, and that was an early exposition of the book of Ephesians. Many of these points we've touched in the life study of Ephesians were points that he introduced there. Later on, more light came in his ministry and certainly in the ministry of Witness Lee, related primarily on this matter of the battle in the body or the warfare in the body. And the little bit of time left, you can certainly talk about the matter of the importance of being able to stand, but I think this corporate aspect of the warfare really is something that our listeners need, we all need.
Well, in Ephesians 6, this is not an individual warrior. It's a corporate warrior. You know, every aspect in all of the chapters of Ephesians is corporate. The body of Christ, the one new man, even the poem, all these points are corporate aspects of the church. It's not individuals. So we should apply that also to chapter 6. The warrior there is not you alone fighting against the devil, putting on the armor of God, but it's you as a member of the body, with the body, corporately fighting the battle. The only way that we believers can live overcoming lives is to be in the body and to fight with the body. I like a hymn that Watchman Nee wrote one time. When he first saw that the real way to fight the battle is not alone, but as a member of the body, he wrote this hymn, and it goes like this: fight the battle in the body. Never fight it on your own. With the body to the head joined, fight the battle on the throne. For the body is God's armor, not for anyone alone. When you wrestle in the body, all its benefits you own. See, I love that because it tells us that the armor is for the body. Really, for us believers, to put on the armor of God is to put on the body. Do you understand what I mean?
Yes.
In other words, to become thoroughly identified and in fellowship with the body. When our real fighting ability is as a member of the body. I can't defeat the devil, but the church established by Christ, joined to the head, defeats the devil. And that's how we fight the battle. So we need to learn to open to one another and not struggle against things all by ourselves, but in prayer and in fellowship with one another, together we fight against God's enemy. And you know, Chris, in a battle, it's the army that's standing.
That's right.
That wins.
That wins.
And so, hence the great charge, having done all, to stand. By yourself, you won't stand. But in the body, we all stand.
Thank you very much for listening.